Good morning, church. Yeah. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Casey Cox. I'm from Quincy, and similar to Lauren from last week, I'm currently a student at Belmont University down in Nashville, Tennessee. And this summer, I've had the opportunity to come here and intern here at Madison Park and kind of take over what I've been learning in school and really apply it to the local church. And so it's been a great summer. But sadly, today is my last day. I know. Feels like we were just starting to get to know each other. But it has been a great summer. And church, even as I go back to school this fall, our relationship will only continue to grow. But yeah, so I've been able to work in the office this summer. I've been able to go to the camps. And now we get to hang out for 25 minutes. So it is scary, but it is also really exciting. Now, I'm really grateful for this opportunity to be in front of you today. Now, some of you probably actually know me already. Some of you might remember that communion video that I did back in December. But if you've been here for a really long time, then you probably remember my very first time up on this stage. 6 years ago, I stood right there after Ben Browning came up to me and said, "Hey, Casey, I know you've never sang in front of anyone before, but here, take this microphone and go lead the church in a song." And so I did. I stood right there, stood on the stage like this, stand up nice and tall, hands together, probably no facial expression, probably no movement, and I sang a song about, "I lift my hands to heaven," as I totally did not lift my hands to heaven. But it was a great opportunity, and I'm really grateful that that Ben took that risk. Because he did, even though I didn't know what I was doing, it started me on a path. It really opened the door for me to be involved in a community that cared about me, a community that wanted to invest in me. And so throughout all of high school, that's what you did. This community poured into me and helped me discern God's presence in my life and helped put me down the right path. And even as I have managed college, that investment has continued. You have invested in me financially, but also relationally. So many people, even in this room, have been a helpful voice in my life as I have tried to figure out what path I'm on and where it is that I'm going. You have helped me process so much. And church, you have just done so much for me. You have invested so much in me. And even this summer, that investment has continued as I have been allowed to come back here and learn from a church that cares about its people, but also cares about the kingdom of God. Guys, you have done so much for me. And I am so grateful that now I get to be on this stage and tell you a little bit about what I have learned along the way. So if you haven't been with us these past couple weeks, or you just need a reminder, we've been in this series called One Roar. We've been looking through the 7 Hebrew words for praise, and we've been looking at how those words can shape us in 2022 to worship and praise the one who is worthy. But these concepts can sometimes be a little difficult to understand. I mean, raise your hand if you're a Hebrew scholar, right? So we've been looking to an item that a lot of us are familiar with, a toolbox. And we've been letting these tools in here shape our understanding of these Hebrew words. And we've been starting to see how these words for praise are kind of like our tools for our own worship. And so that takes me to what I would like to talk about today. The word that we will be discussing today is Barak. Now, Barak means to kneel, to bless God, to praise, to salute, and to thank. Now, a fun fact about me, I don't know the first thing about construction, but sometimes I get into these weird little moods where I am curious about construction. And for example, one day this question just popped into my mind, and I was thinking, man, I wonder how difficult it is to finish a basement. And so one thing led to another. I proceeded to watch a 3-hour video on this guy finishing a basement, and it was awesome. But in that video, there was this time where the guy was building a wall in the basement, and he was building the frame, you know, that the drywall would hang on to. But to do this correctly, you need it to be aligned. And so he goes to his toolbox, and he pulls out this little item, and he goes across the room, And he sets it down on the ground and he turns it on. And then it shoots this laser up and down the wall across the room. And then he takes the wall that he has been building, you know, that frame, and he puts it up and aligns it right with that laser. And then when it's set, he screws it in. Now, again, I don't know a thing about construction. I've never had to use that before, but I can only imagine how helpful this tool is for the whole process of construction. I mean, alignment is important, right? If things aren't aligned, if you do it wrong, it might not be straight. It might not look the way it should, and it might not even function the fullest it can. And so just as this tool is about alignment, so too is Barak. Barak is rooted in alignment. Not about aligning walls, but about aligning our hearts so that our praise, our worship can be the fullest it can be. Now, a few weeks ago, I was at Madison Park's junior high camp, Emerge. And while we were there, I heard about a conversation between a student and a sponsor. Now, a student asked, "Why do some people raise their hands in worship?" Now, that got me thinking, and this question lingered in some of our heads, and so later some of us sponsors were throwing around ideas, talking about our own personal reasons, and that got me thinking, why do we do everything that we do in worship? I mean, some people kneel, some people jump, some people raise their hands, and some people even cry. Why? I don't know if that question gets asked enough. I would imagine that a lot of us here are just so used to the tradition that we just do it. I mean, for me, I wasn't raised in this church, but I came here in high school, and when I came, I saw that traditions were already established. We stand when we sing, because that's what we've always been doing. People raise their hands in worship because that's what everyone is doing, but I think that there has to be a deeper motive behind these actions. Because if not, it's just a mindless action. And what kind of praise is a mindless action? So to figure out why we do what we do, let's trace back the tradition as far back as we can to see what was going on in these people's lives that caused them to do what they do when they praise, when they barak. And thankfully, we don't have to look that hard because we have this book full of the testimonies of God's people. And in this book, they do a lot of praising. I mean, in the book of Psalms alone, the word Barak appears 289 times. So let's start there. But as we read, I want you to just really think about what is happening behind the text. What is going on in these people's lives that is causing them to do what it is that they do when they praise? What is going on in these people's hearts that cause them to barak the way that they do? So today we're going to open up to Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth in his days. May the righteous flourish and peace abound till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains, may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Do you hear it? Do you see what's going on in these people's lives that are causing them to do what they do? Let's keep going. Psalm 95. This time we're just doing verses 1 through 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We're starting to see a common trend in these texts, right? Every time Barak is used, people start to act similarly. So we're going to move up to Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. There are hundreds of more times where Barak is used in Scripture, and what is happening is pretty much the same thing every single time. We see people throwing themselves to the ground and worshiping and praising God. They're worshiping God for who he is, a God that delivers, a God that is merciful, and a God that is loving, and they're praising him for what he has done in this world. Now, David wrote more than a few psalms, but what I love about David's psalms is the place that they come from. See, David doesn't write text to make it look poetic and pretty and decorated. No, David writes from the heart. David looks to all of the feelings that dwell deep down inside of him, and he lets them out onto the page. David is an open book. And so now we're going to look at one of David's psalms, and we're going to see what he teaches us about Barak. So Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide nor keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his work in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Barak the Lord, O my soul. Barak, Barak. We hear it over and over again. Here we see David is confessing Barak the Lord with everything inside of me. David is saying that praise involves our whole being. Barak comes from the soul. It comes from the heart. It comes from the deepest parts of us. And that reaction is what makes people fall to their knees. It's what makes people do exactly what we sang about 6 years ago. I lift my hands to heaven. But hear this, I love the next verse. It says, Lord, hear my heart surrendered. Barak isn't about the song or the music or the mindless action. It's about the reaction of our heart to God's goodness. That's good stuff. Thanks, David. But let's keep going. We can take this deeper. We can explore this more. And I believe that the more that we explore this, hopefully the more it will change us. So let's break it down. Let's take a look at what is going on exactly inside of us when we barak. We're going to jump back over to Psalm 100, but this time just specifically verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Now there are three things that are revealed about Barak here. True Barak, true praise, true worship, it sits on three pillars. Now the first pillar is adoration. Adoration means deep love, admiration, and respect. Have you ever adored something? Believe it or not, I wasn't always this tall. Back in the day, I used to be this tall. And when I was that tall, I had this blanket. Now, this blanket, it was this blue little blanket, silk edges, and a little teddy bear head in the middle. Now, I adored that blanket. I loved it. Now, I think it's okay for us to adore things as long as we're not idolizing them. I mean, we can adore our spouse, we can adore our children, our mentors, but here we're talking about the adoration of God. Now, to me, that blanket was a friend. It was comfort. And because of that, I adored it. So with that, I ask, what is God to you? It's okay if you haven't figured that out yet. My advice to you would be to grab someone and walk through this book that we're talking about. Because like I said, it is a compilation of people's testimonies, of people's stories about how God stepped into their lives. In that, we see God's character rise out of that. The God that worked in these people's lives thousands of years ago is the same God today working in our lives. And in that process, I hope that the truth would rise out. That the answer to the question of what is God to me is God is good to me. Adoration of God comes from recognizing that God is good, not just saying that God is good, but looking at his character and believing it, believing that God adores you. Now in David's psalm, he says, "The Lord is the one who forgives your iniquity. He heals you of your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." When we believe that God is the one who does these things for him, for us, adoration of him is the natural response. So my question to you is, what is God to you? Now, the second pillar is gratitude. Gratitude is the deep appreciation for something that was done for you. Now, I would even go as far to say that gratitude is the deep appreciation for something that was done for you that you really needed. My roommate, Sam, is one of the best people at recognizing the kind of presence that someone needs and then stepping into that and meeting that need. Now, it doesn't matter whether you tell him about your bad day or not. He picks up on it and he responds. And so sophomore year of college was a really hard year. That was the first full school year in COVID. My campus was locked tight. All of my classes were online, and so I spent hours a day in my room by myself behind a computer screen, and so that plus everything else that was going on in my life, one day I was just really feeling it. And so Sam comes to me and he says, "Hey Casey, let's go to the cafeteria, let's get some cheeseburgers, and then let's come back and let's watch some Survivor." And so we did. And it was awesome. It felt good to be seen like that and to have someone care like that. And later that night, I just remember sitting in my bed just thinking, wow, that was great. I really needed that. Now, gratitude of God is kind of similar. We have this book to tell us all about the things that God has done for people. And in that, we find messages to us that God is still doing that work in our lives today, in your life and in my life. God is still showing up and doing exactly what we need. Now, gratitude is different than just thankfulness. I can sit at the dinner table and be thankful for my meal, but gratitude invokes a response. Gratitude is when we are so touched by what was done for us that we feel the urge to respond with action. And so with that, I'll ask, what has God done for you that merits gratitude? Now, the third pillar, and probably the hardest one, is humility. Humility is seeing yourself exactly as you are in relation to something else, to someone else. And in our case, it is seeing ourselves exactly as we are in relation to God. Now, back in Psalm 72 that we read earlier, in Barak, we see kings. We see the richest people, the people with all authority in their land, coming before the true king and bowing down. They are seeing themselves exactly as they are in relation to that true king. Now, these people have an image to upkeep. They can't seem weak or subordinate or anything like that, but yet here they are coming to the true king and putting their crowns aside and bowing down. So what does that say for us? I mean, we don't have that same platform that they have, and so we'd almost think it would be easier to bow down, but yet here we are. And it's hard. In an image-centered culture, it's hard to be humble. It's hard to set aside our ego even before someone as great as God. I mean, there have been so many times where I have been in this room, in those seats, and I have felt the urge to praise. I have heard the song, I heard the worship, and I feel the adoration and the gratitude inside of me like swelling up, and I just want to lift my hands and sing, but I'm stopped because I think, wait, what if someone sees me? What are they gonna think? No, that's weird. I'm not doing it. And then we stuff down our praise and we limit our praise. Sadly, we have so many reasons to hold back our praise. Whether we don't understand why we should praise, or we're uncomfortable, or we don't want to embarrass ourselves, we hold ourselves back. But Barak requires humility. It takes recognizing that the reason to praise is greater than the reason not to praise. And so my question to you is, what is your reason to praise? Now, we're at the point in the sermon where we go down the path of, why does that matter to me? What do I have to gain from listening and changing something? But I want to push back on that a little bit, because I'm going to say, not everything with God has to be transactional, especially worship. Worship is not transactional because it's not about us. We don't praise for the sake of elevating ourselves or elevating our own experience. We praise because, frankly, that is what we are made for. Back to Psalm 103, David commands all things to Barak the Lord, the angels and the servants, Barak the Lord. But the cool thing about God is that he doesn't twist our arms until we praise him. He gives us reason to praise him. And one of the reasons that we like to talk about here is the cross. God stepped down from his throne into our messy lives and showed us a way out. Showed us a way to have life and life abundantly. That is something worth celebrating. The God that would pay our debt from our sin as an act of love is a God that is worthy of our praise. And then that same God stepped back up to heaven, back to his throne, and is waiting to come back. And so in the book of Revelation, we are given a glimpse into that side of heaven. We see what the kingdom of God will look like, and we are reminded of the role of creation in that kingdom. In a vision of what would come, the author of Revelation says this in Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." What a beautiful image that is. On the other side of heaven, God's kingdom is full of people looking at the glory of God and humbly bowing down in adoration and gratitude of God, free of distraction, free of agenda, just praise. While the book of Revelation is a vision of what is yet to come, God's kingdom isn't waiting until Jesus comes back. It's getting revealed now. In the Gospels, there is this time where Jesus teaches us how to pray. And while he is praying to God, he says to God, "Father, let your kingdom come." Jesus prayed that God's kingdom would come now, today, in this time. And every time we Barak the Lord, we are bringing his glory, his kingdom to the now. We are allowing his glory into the room. Now, earlier I said that worship isn't about what we gain, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we don't have anything to gain. I mean, you can see the joy in this text, the joy in these people as they are bowing down to God. Imagine what it would be like to be a part of an experience like that. I imagine that some of you don't have to think that hard. Some of you have probably lived an experience similar to this. Like I said, a few weeks ago, I was at that middle school camp called Emerge. And I think it was a great week. I think students really started to see how God plays into their own story. I think some students left camp with a better understanding of how God is present and working in their lives. And on that last night, I sat in the back of the room during the worship, and I just saw a room full of junior hires praising God. Hands lifted, voices singing, and I would even say hearts were aligned. Now, what I was seeing was an image similar to the one that we find in this text in Revelation. When we Barak the Lord, we are answering Jesus' prayer. We are letting his kingdom come into our life. But I don't think that we have to save these moments just for a few days out of the year. Imagine what it would be like if every week we gathered here in this room and just responded to the goodness of God. Imagine if instead of asking, "How was the worship?" we started asking each other, "How was your worship?" Imagine if instead of coming here and just closing ourselves off to the goodness of God, imagine if we came here with hearts thinking about all of the reason to praise that God gave us this week. Our praise is intentional. We do what we do in worship because God is worthy. When we recognize that truth, when we see how God earned that title throughout our life, the way we were created, the natural response is to barak, to kneel, to bless, to salute, to thank, and to praise. Now, in a moment, the band will come out. They'll play some songs, but as they do this, I want you to just think. Just as anybody in construction needs to align what they are working on, we need to align our hearts to barak, to praise the fullest, to let ourselves respond freely. Think about what it means for God to be worthy. How is this goodness revealed in your life? And then let your heart respond accordingly. Let the actions that flow, flow. If you want to sing, then sing. If you want to kneel or raise your hands or do whatever it is that your heart chooses to tell your body, then do it. Align your heart in this moment and let the praise flow.
For those of you that may not recognize me, my name is Jamie Fitzgerald. I'm one of the elders here, and we wanted to take a moment with you and with Casey to recognize when our youth choose to align themselves with God's calling in their lives. It's a big deal. And when they choose to come and continue to serve in an internship, just as Lauren has and as Casey has, and to allow God to speak through them. And we're thankful for the message and how he's going to use you in your life. So, church, please join me in praying for Casey. Father God, first and foremost, we lift up enormous barak, enormous praise and thanks to you for your son. It's the reason we're here. It's the reason Casey has been called to your kingdom and to preach this morning. Father, we've heard about alignment, and we are thankful that our youth have chosen, in Casey's case, to align himself with your mission, with your guidance and direction in his life, and we ask your continued presence and guidance in his life. Father, give him, over this next year, his senior year, give him wisdom to know where you're calling him. Place his footsteps, Father, where he will best be serving your kingdom in its expanse. God, we're thankful for any time someone chooses to go into ministry. And we're thankful that your church here at Madison Park is a place that affirms those decisions, that recognizes the importance of being a place that can guide, that can allow for those you have called to sharpen their skills and that we can support them as they go off in their ministry. So, Father, thank you for Casey. Thank you for speaking through him. Bless him as he moves forward in his life and in his ministry. It's in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen. Thanks, Casey. So, church, that brings us to the time each week in service where we have an opportunity to align ourselves as well, not with the worries and concerns of the past week, not with what's ahead of us that the world's going to throw at us this week, but with what you would have for us. Paul Aberle doesn't know this, but I'm going to steal some of his wisdom when he did a meditation for the worship team this morning. Just so you know, both of your worship teams down on East and West and all the people behind the scenes meet each Sunday morning and align themselves, try to put themselves in a mindset to come up here and, as they volunteer, most importantly, to bring a worship experience that is meaningful, to lead us on a Sunday morning to give thanks and praise back to God. So one of the things Paul said, we talk about work-life balance, and work can be, if it's work in your household, taking care of the kids, on the farm, in your job or your business, It can be any of that, but we try to balance that. We talk about balance between work and life. And Paul said, if we align ourselves, if we think about how God wants us to align with him and allow him to step in and guide our steps and give us direction in our hearts, the rest of it falls in place, right? So as we do this morning, take a moment to allow yourself to be aligned to Christ. And with that, we take the bread and we remember how he taught us and what he said. This was a symbol of his body broken for us. He willingly took our punishment on that cross so many years ago. And then we take the cup and we remember what he did again willingly. He stepped up on that cross. He allowed himself to be nailed there and he bled. The blood that covers our sins and the blood that aligns us as we move forward in our walks. Heavenly Father, again, we give you Barak, we give you thanks and praise this morning for the chance to come here, for a country, for a state, a town, a building, wherever that may be. Father, we can come freely and give worship to you. We can walk through our week in this world freely and give worship to you. And we recognize that this morning, and we give you thanks and praise. I pray also, God, that you would align us, align our hearts as we continue to worship, align our steps as we walk into another week, as we walk into a broken and dark world. Align us for our purpose, Lord. And we know that's to be light for those in this world that need your Son. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.